I stared at him. Part of me suspected he was right, but I felt defensive. I knew I had to convince him, because my own conscience cried out for justification. "Howard, this isn't Boston. This is a country where, until now, no one could even get electricity. Things are different here." He turned on his heel and waved his hand as though he could brush me away. "Go ahead," he snarled. "Sell out. I don't give a damn what you come up with." He jerked his chair from behind his desk and fell into it. "I'll make my electricity forecast based on what I believe, not some pie-in-the-sky economic study." He picked up his pencil and started to scribble on a pad of paper. It was a challenge I could not ignore. I went and stood in front of his desk. "You'll look pretty stupid if I come up with what everyone expects, a boom to rival the California gold rush, and you forecast electricity growth at a rate comparable to Boston in the 1960s. He slammed the pencil down and glared at me. "Unconscionable! That's what it is! You! All of you!" He waved his arms at the offices beyond our walls. "You've sold your souls to the devil. You're in it for the money. Now," he feigned a smile and reached under his shirt, "I'm turning off my hearing aid and going back to work." It shook me to the core. I stomped out of the room and headed for Charlie's office. Halfway there, I stopped, uncertain about what I intended to accomplish. Instead, I turned and walked down the stairs, out the door, into the afternoon sunlight. The young woman was climbing out of the canal, her sarong wrapped tightly about her body. The elderly man had disappeared. Several boys played in the canal, splashing and shouting at each other. An older woman was standing knee-deep in the water, brushing her teeth. Another was scrubbing clothes. A huge lump grew in my throat. I sat down on a slab of broken concrete, trying to disregard the pungent odor from the canal. I fought hard to hold back the tears. I needed to figure out why I felt so miserable. "You're in it for the money," I heard Howard's words over and over. He had struck a raw nerve. The little boys continued to splash each other, their gleeful voices filling the air. I wondered what I could do. What would it take to make me carefree like them? The question tormented me as I sat there watching them cavort in their blissful innocence, apparently unaware of the risk they took by playing in that fetid water. An elderly, hunchbacked man with a gnarled cane hobbled along the bank above the canal. He stopped and watched the boys, and his face broke into a toothless grin.